right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Free For All, the 50th episode of Free For All. We didn't think we would have made it this far. I'll be honest with you, folks, but here we are. I'm your host, Big John, right here, grumblingsmedia.com presentation of Free For All, joined by my co-host, as he has been wont to do the last couple of episodes, Mr. Hody Johns. Hody, how you doing tonight?
As always, better than I deserve. I'm in a rut, and that rut is every day is a good day, and I'm hoping I get stuck in it for the rest of my life. It's fantastic.
Oh, poetic and positive. Positive poetry. I love it. I love it indeed. Everyone, welcome to the show. Before I introduce our very special guest, please keep in mind we are live, so whether you're on X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, wherever you are listening to this or watching this, please feel free to engage with us in the comment section. Hody, myself, and our guest would be more than happy to answer any and all questions. All right, before we go any further, let me just say welcome, everyone, to one of the first major guests that came agreed to come on the show about a year ago, fellow New Yorker, always someone who was always willing to say yes and come on the show, put up with my nonsense, and more often than not has tolerated just about anything that's floated out of my mouth. So on that note, I ask him to do it again for our 50th episode. Everyone, please welcome former New York gubernatorial candidate for the Libertarian Party twice, Mr. Larry Sharp. Larry, my man, how you doing tonight?
I am doing good, and you guys are funny. I mean, you guys aren't that bright, but at least you're funny, which is why I keep coming back. That's the reason.
That's the only reason the ladies are flocked to us, Larry. It's not true. Money, it's not looks, it's and it's not brain, so it's got to be something.
I have asked the women why they keep flocking to you, Big John. They go, you know what? It's because he's funny. And there's some other things I probably don't want to say on YouTube. I might get in trouble, Big John.
Fair enough, fair enough. Maybe if you said it in Greek, I know Athena can maybe give you a couple of choice words either. You know, that'll be fine too. Okay. Everyone, as we said, welcome to the show. Larry is here to chop it up with us regarding issues of interest to libertarians. And before we even get started, you've got a fan in the chat, Larry. Kim Husky says, hello, Larry.
I have been on the internet 4 times today, and Kim is stalking me. I was on at 10 a.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Eastern, now 10 p.m. Eastern. So I don't get to get any work done. I just chop it up with you guys.
and you know what, Larry? In her comment, she actually said, I'm a Larry Sharp stalker. So you hit the nail right on the head. Okay, great to have you on, Larry. I just wanted to start off by talking a little bit about what's been happening in the news, what's been happening around the world, maybe get a couple of your thoughts on it. The first one, let's talk about, get right into it, because we got a lot of issues. We also have another guest joining us a little bit later, and I want the people to hear what's on Larry's mind. First thing, financial markets are in turmoil, Larry. President Trump announced his tariffs on last week. He's also indicated through his discussions, his interviews, that he expects a recession to be likely, that we'll have to go through pain before this gets any better. The markets have responded, as many of us could have predicted, in a very negative fashion. Roughly $4 trillion of market cap value has disappeared in roughly a week. The trade wars have escalated. We've hit Canada and Mexico and the EU with tariffs. They're hitting us with retaliatory tariffs. Larry, give me your thoughts on this. Is what the president is doing, is it going to work out? What's going on?
Look, the reality of it is, no matter what he did, not to take anything away from him, not going to say he did good or bad, but no matter what he was going to do, we were going to have some kind of recession this year. There were bubbles everywhere in everything. So something bad was going to happen. Sadly, I don't think his tariffs are going to help at all. I think his tariffs will make things worse to be forward. That's my thought. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope, and I have no evidence of this. This is just my feels. I hope, that's all I've got, that what he's talking about is much more of posturing. And that after he's done with it, he will turn around and make things freer and we'll have better trade. I hope that's true. Or one of the other thing is all the people who he is bringing in will get up and running so fast that by the end of the year, we will feel that increase. If either of those two things happen, he'll be fine. If not, we're going to be in trouble. My issue here is there was going to be a downturn no matter what. Whether Harris won or not doesn't matter.
Right.
The actual idea of the market losing a bunch of stuff now, I don't actually care. The market is not a good indicator of how Americans, average Americans, is doing. It isn't. So whether the market did well when we were all starving to death in 2009-10, right? Market was doing fine. So right. It isn't really an indicator in that regard. Now, he uses it. That's his fault. I wouldn't. The problem is Trump does use the market as an indicator. Because he does, we have a right to go, wait a minute, now it's bad. You can't say you're awesome when it's good and then say you're still awesome when it's bad. You have to not use it as an indicator or use it. He does, so you have every right to hammer him when it's not doing well. I agree with what you're saying. My issue is he's got about 6 months, give or take, in that area where he can kind of do almost no wrong. What do I mean by that? Last year, and the last 4 years at least, the establishment, particularly Democrats, but the Republican establishment too, has done nothing to help us. They've had no answers for – Democratic Party still has no answers for anything. When you are starving – I almost say starving. When you're drowning,
right.
Someone puts their hand out and says, hey, I grab my hand. You don't care if that's a Republican hand. You don't care if it's a Democrat hand, Libertarian hand, Green Party. You don't care if it's a fascist. You don't care if they got an armband with a bad symbol on it. You don't care. That guy's going to pull you out of the water. You're like, I'll take it.
Right.
And the problem is since the establishment, and I will use Democrats because Democrats are the part of the establishment now. The establishment Democrats have had no answer for years. Trump's answers, while they aren't great, they aren't what I would do, they are answers. And because they are answers, people are kind of like, I'm just going to shut up and kind of see what happens here and hope things get better. And yeah, they're going to get bad, but let's see. And the example I'll give you is Milei in Argentina, same idea. Milei went through a lot of people suffered last year through Milei. They did. Yes. It's true. However, overall, Milei is winning. Overall, Argentina is winning. Overall, what Milei did well and Trump is not doing well is Milei actually decided to communicate well. It was with the chainsaw and all that crazy stuff, but people understood what he was saying. He said, if I trash this stuff, there's going to be pain, but in the end, here's the good stuff that's going to happen. And not all of it did, but you can see overall, and you can see, Argentinians went through hell, and he's still popular. People still like him. Rent in Argentina has come down. Like, the things he said was going to happen has gotten better. Trump has not been good with communicating, and that's why the market is suffering, because Trump is not communicating. He's not saying, I'm using tariffs so I can, or I don't like tariffs, I'm just using them. He's not saying any of that. He's not saying, if we have a recession next month, by December we'll be fine. Or, I don't know if that's true, but
yeah.
He's not saying any of that. And his lack of communication and the feeling that it's sporadic is not good for him. He should be actually spending much more time communicating this better to make Americans feel better about it, and he isn't, and that's why some are getting scared.
Yeah, and Larry, and I want Hody to tell me a little bit too. I don't know if he's old enough to remember this, so I'll just say it and see what if he nods or shakes his head no. But this is similar to me to when Reagan first took office, right? We're coming out of stagflation.
Yep.
We had double-digit inflation. We had double-digit mortgage rates, right? But there's a difference. Reagan had Milton Friedman, who was his mouthpiece for how this is going to work. We're going to go through 18 months of pain, rough pain. But here's why we'll come out ahead on the other side, right? Which is, to your point, more contemporarily, what Milei said. Milei said,
yes.
Here's the Austrian principles I'm putting in place, right? Here's the limited government. And because of the system down there, he was able to physically get rid of departments. Afuera, right?
Yep.
That's not the case here.
Yep.
Even though DOGE is trying, they're identifying stuff. But the government, first 2 months under Trump, has spent more year over year. So government expense actually went up, not down.
Yes.
So I think to your point, that communication is a huge deal. He's not
articulate. There's a reason why they called Reagan the great communicator. There's a reason why they called him that, right? He was the one saying, this is where it's going to go. And look, Democrats bought it. there were a lot of Reagan Democrats, right? They were like, yep, I'm buying it. They were in. And now some people don't like Reagan. And it's fine. Okay, if you like Reagan or not. I'm saying, was he an effective communicator? Clearly he was. Yeah. Right? There's no way you can't say he was an effective communicator. I said the same thing with Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was an effective communicator. You may not like Bill Clinton, but the guy could talk. The guy was an effective communicator. Those two things are true. Trump is a showman. Better than most, he's a very good showman. But to be forward, he's not a great communicator compared to those two. But he's a better showman than both of them.
Right. I agree. And Hody, would you say that, look, Trump maintains his popularity. He's in on the, you know, he's got his 100 days.
He's still popular.
He's still popular. He's still making the most of it.
Yep.
But is he convincing people of his righteousness and what he's trying to do with his economic policies? Because to the untrained ear, it does sound like America, love it or leave it. And it's not an Austrian or a Chicago school of economics or explaining how tariffs and rates work. He's just saying, we're number one. We're taking over Greenland, Canada, Mexico, and any place else.
Panama. Taking them all.
And we're number one. And if they don't like it, tough. How do you think that's – how long are people going to be on board with that, Hody, do you think?
I'm re-upping in the Marine Corps. I'm going back in. They're taking Panama.
Hoorah, hoorah.
I would say based on what it looks like, the response to these market decisions are negative 100 days are about the tolerance that people have for it. Australia today now going to ban American products there. We break our contract with Ukraine, passing off the defense now to the Europeans, who then pass that cost off to us, of course. Our tariffs with Canada won't, you know, we'll go reciprocated, right? It would be one thing if he was doing a Malay thing and saying we're doing the right thing and it's going to be temporarily painful.
Yep,
Trump is doing the wrong thing. Doge has identified a fraction of 1% of the spending and had to lie about it to even get to 0.1% of the spending. And now that they've got the lid blown off of them, they've stopped caring. They tried to push through this spending bill that was just going to fund all the things that Doge even didn't find, right? Like, or said they found. And these are all negative market interactions, right? These aren't what has happened, as we talked about a few weeks ago, Big John. Yes, my friends now who have disabled children are losing their checks, and they are going to be on their own. That's the government that got spending. What's the government that didn't get spending or that didn't get cut? Oh, well, you know, all the USAID stuff is still on the market, all the waste, all the stupid projects that we've been funding, is still going to be funded.
Oh, right? Let's be clear. The military-industrial complex is far more important than kids. I mean, let's just be real.
Very political answer there, but yes, unfortunately, that's the holy money that can't be touched. And so whereas you look at somebody like Malay, who is like, hey, listen, I'm cutting this. There's going to be a period of adjustment. It's difficult. You even look at like the Department of Education stuff. They're firing the staff, but they're transferring the powers elsewhere and bumping the paychecks. There is nothing small market economics or free market economics about this. This isn't a fuera. This is bigger government into the hands of fewer people, which is going to have a negative market consequence.
There's an important piece here. And this is my earlier piece, which is there were no answers before. Right? This is the thing that I'm here. This is what the left is doing poorly. And it makes me angry. The left is doing this. Well, he's doing it the wrong way. Idiot, you had the government for 4 years. Show me the right way then. You've done nothing. You've just made shit worse. You've allowed us to drown and drown and drown. And he's saying, well, I'm coming out with a rope. Well, you should come out with a boat. I got a rope. I'll take the rope because these guys got nothing. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm saying the argument is moot because there's no answer. So we consider and go, he's doing it wrong. Doge is bad. Doge is wrong. I wouldn't do it that way, the way Doge did. I wouldn't either. I'm with you. But there's no other answer. So Americans go, fine. It sounds better.
And it's something.
I mean, yes. It's and something. Here's the thing. If you look, I'll go to New York as an example. Within New York, it's the opposite. In New York, the Democrats have all the answers. Terrible answers. But they have them. The Republican Party in New York has no answers. The Republican Party in New York is, Democrats are bad. That's their entire campaign. And I'm not even joking. I would ask anyone in New York who's listening right now, give me one policy from any New York Republican. You can't. There are none. You cannot give me one policy. They don't exist. So as they cry and go, well, Hochul's bad, give me an answer. No, then Hochul's going to win again. Stop. It doesn't mean anything. The problem at the national level is the opposite. Democrats have no answers, and Republicans have the answers. They're bad answers like tariff the world. These are bad answers, but right. They have them. And if you don't have another answer, we're going to take the tariffs.
You know, that's okay, Larry. There's a lot going on, so I just want to get to everything. So the first thing is, I agree with you, but I don't know if you and Hody share my opinion. It's like, I don't expect Democrats to have economic answers. I don't expect them to understand what's happening with the economy, because I've never considered them to be knowledgeable in the economy, ever, since I was a kid. So I don't expect it from them. I do expect better from Republicans, and I certainly expect Libertarians to be even better. So that's a slight difference right there. It's a low bar of expectations. Very quickly,
But they do have an answer. The problem is with the Democratic Party, I mean.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Again, I don't agree with their answer, but they do. If you look at what's happened to the Democratic Party, why they're hurting so badly, is because those who are further left than Democrats economically, actual leftists, actual socialists, actual communists, have actually left the Democratic Party. They went to places like Jill Stein, or they went someplace else because they are economically left. Democrats don't talk about Medicare for all anymore. They don't talk about that anymore, but that's an answer. Again, clearly I disagree with that answer, but that is an answer, right? That's an answer. Americans go, oh yeah, we'll just do Medicare for all. What about, you know, tax the billionaires until I get my money? That's an answer. Again, one I disagree with, but I get it. That is an actual answer.
Right.
And so the left has an answer. The Democratic Party doesn't. The left does have economic answers. I mean,
that's a good distinction to make, and yes. I'm glad you did it. Okay, very quickly. Felicia says, hello, Larry. And hey, I'm assuming she means you and not the failed McLean-Stevenson sitcom from the 70s.
That was an awesome show, by the way. He was a radio talk show host. I remember.
That was meant specifically for me and you, Larry. Thank you about that one. Okay.
Absolutely.
William says, Larry Kudlow, Jamie Dimon, and David Solomon are seen as experts in understanding the economy and politics. They stated they know what Trump is doing. Also, the MSM has already twisted this. So to defend Trump, it doesn't matter what he says. The MSM distorts it. How do you respond to William?
I think that's valid in many ways, right? Here's what Trump is doing well. Again, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. What he's doing well is he is outsourcing a whole lot of his government. And he's doing it a lot. And I told people this. People were like, people said, no, when Trump gets in, he's going to control everything and you're going to see he's going to stop. I said, no, Trump has to focus on international. Israel and Ukraine are monsters, and he thinks somehow he can get rid of them in a day. I said it. No way does he end those wars by Inauguration Day. No way. There's far too much money in Ukraine for that to go away. That's billions of dollars. Guys who want to end that thing with just end it, they end up in a box. They have an accident. That's not how that works. There is billions of dollars in that thing. That's why he cares about this mineral rights thing. It's not because he cares about mineral rights. He's doing it because he wants to make sure the military-industrial complex gets paid somehow once this war is over. Because if it isn't, this war is not going to end because they're making far too much money, right? Military-industrial complex is not evil. It's apathetic. It just wants to make money. They'll make it off minerals, rebuilding stuff, loans, bombing people. Whatever. They don't care, right? So give them minerals and they'll stop bombing people. They don't care. That's the only reason why he cares about that. That's where he went. So because he outsources it, when things go south, they're not going to say it was Trump. They're going to say, oh, that was that Jamie Dimon guy. He screwed it up. It wasn't Trump. It was Jamie Dimon who wrecked it, right? He's going to do that kind of thing. And the problem is, the good and the bad for him is he is clearly a cult of personality, which is good in one way. And that way is he is a center for people to get around when they don't agree. There is a reason why he could create a unity ticket, the RFK Jr., the Tulsi Gabbard, the Elon Musk, because his personality is so strong, he can unify them based upon him. You only have to ask one thing. Do you like Trump? Yes, you're in. It doesn't matter what else you think. You are united by his strong personality. That's the good thing. Here's the bad thing. It winds up becoming hero worship. And at that point, you can do no wrong, right? Trump is the God King, and everything he says is correct.
It's idolatry.
And blah, blah, blah.
It's idolatry, yes. Pure and simple. And correct. Listen, Trump, the best description I've referred to him as a Keynesian Democrat. I've referred to him to a lot of different things, right? The truth of the matter is the best adjective for him is populist.
He just
wants whatever makes him popular with the people. There's good, to your point, good and bad.
Yep.
The good is he's reactive, right? The will of the people. The bad
part. And
also
transactional.
Yes, very transactional. You're absolutely right. Here's the bad part, though. He has no principles to stand on. So that means you can't count on him to do the right thing if the majority of the people are for him doing the wrong thing.
Accurate.
And we'll get into some other examples right now. So, for example, right now, and let's start off with this, talking about the economy. Representative Thomas Massie, Republican. But let's call him a rhino for a different reason, though. Not because he leans left, rhino, because he's really libertarian posing correct. As a Republican, correct?
Yes.
Thomas Massie, as he is wont to do, said, hey, this continuing resolution sucks. I'm not going to vote for it. And now, to set the stage, Hody, at the convention, you remember this, Massie came on and said, give this guy Trump a listen. He knows he's going to follow through. He stumped for Trump amongst the libertarians. But he says, look, this continuing resolution goes against everything you're trying to do with DOGE. It goes against your promises of smaller government. It merely extends the Biden budget. He voted no. The lone Republican who voted no. Immediately, Trump called to primary him.
Yep, absolutely.
And okay.
Let me touch a couple of those pieces. The first one is, I know Massie, met him many times. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Seems
and he said he understood that there was no chance of libertarian impact last year. Trump or Harris was going to win. He knew that. So his view was Trump will give us something. That was his view. And he wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong. Trump is giving us something. We would have got nothing with Harris, to be fair, as libertarians, nothing with Harris. And that was his thought process. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying it's correct. I mean, I'm not saying that I would have done it, but I'm saying he was correct, right?
You understand why he did what he did.
100%. It makes sense. He's like, I can't get a libertarian in. So I can get Trump or I can get Harris. If I get Trump, I'll get something. But it's not going to be perfect, but I'll get something. And he was correct. That's true. For libertarians, Trump is a less bad option than Harris. I would say that. It's a less bad option than Harris. Not a great option, but less bad. So we get the idea of something else. We get Americans wanting change and seeing change. I think that's true. But here's the next piece. This goes back to a cult of personality. The greatest crime you have in a cult of personality is heresy. Mm. And that is his crime. His crime is heresy. And heresy is, wait a minute. No, the leader is the leader, and he's always right. So you can't – again, the reason why they're all together is because we're good with Trump. That's why you have people who disagree completely with each other. That's why you have Elon Musk and Marco Rubio in the same room. The only reason why they're in the same room is because Trump's in that room. That's the reason. The only reason why, Thomas Massey's with Rubio is because Trump's in that room. That's the only reason. So I think that keeps them all together in that regard. So he was against it. But to be forward, Massie is completely safe. No one's primarying him. He beat AIPAC. If you can beat AIPAC, you can beat anybody.
Right.
So he's untouchable. He doesn't care. Here's the thing about Massie that I love. He's also transactional, but he's transactional not because he wants to get a deal done. He's transactional because he will be a single issue voter if the issue's right. So when Trump comes back to a right, more libertarian thing, Massie can right back on board. Oh, okay, you're doing libertarian stuff? I'm back on board. It's not personal for him. He's not mad at Trump. He's saying this bill is bad. If a good bill comes up, he'll say, yeah, I'll vote for that. So in that case, they're both transactional. The second piece is Trump will also forget. Trump is also transactional. The second right. that Massey goes, I'm back on board, I love you again because I like this bill, Trump will be like, oh, you love me again? Okay, we're fine.
I see that. That's the one I challenge. The one thing that I've noticed, and this is just not while he's been in office, Larry, being native New Yorkers, we have observed Trump his entire life. Anybody who insults him or otherwise shows disloyalty is persona non grata in his book. So we'll see how that goes.
It's got to be personal. That's the issue. He's got to feel like it's personal. He knows this is not personal with Massey. That's the difference. I agree with you. He can be very petty, but he's petty when it's personal. This is not personal. And I think he knows not. Everyone knows it's not personal, right? Massey isn't going, Trump is stupid. He's not saying that. He's saying this bill is bad. It's difference. He's not attacking Trump.
I hear you. And Hody, very quickly, if you're hanging around in libertarian circles, right, we know there was the hardcore MAGA libertarians who are in the same cult, right? So the Heises, the McCardles, you know, they're still on the Trump train. They're doing the mental gymnastics, even on this issue with Massey. They're abandoning Massey as libertarians in favor of Trump. Yeah, that's the feeling I get in Twitter. But I was going to let Hody answer. What's the feeling you get there, Hody? Do you agree with me, or do you feel I'm overstating it?
Gotta hope that's not true.
No, I mean, I think you have to have principles to kind of have this conversation, like as far as like what they're doing accurately. We're talking about a convicted sexual assailant. We're talking about somebody who scrubbed his own name from the Epstein flight logs. This is not somebody who I'm just going to try to like fit into a box, right? This is not somebody who I'm going to be like, oh, I understand that with this rational place this person is coming from. Like, it's not coming from a rational place. And so attempting to rationalize what he's doing is not a game I'm willing to play. Now, as far as libertarian, like right-wing Twitter, yeah, LPNH is scorching the ships and all in on Trump. And of course, you know, I think it's more that the people who would have tweeted opposition to this like 100 times, like in support, like, you know, been like, this is the worst thing that could happen, or only tweeting 1 or 2 times. Like, it's not my favorite. Right. And like, and so I used to work for the Republican Party. I get it. Right. Like, I was in Colorado when that was still like a purple state, and I could still swing it red. And this was absolutely part of our playbook. And it's just, you make the libertarians look like idiots by making them support you, by making them think that you're going to give them a bone. And what has Trump done? He's been worse than Harris in like almost every metric. He has carried on literally with the CR, all of her economic policies, right? Done all the same things, and then tacked on, a literal war on the people who did what Ross Ulbricht did, right? Yeah. Like, upgraded from just a figurative war to an actual literal one.
Well, he's also called for the death penalty. Yeah,
right.
For those guys.
That. God, I can't stand that. Jesus, yeah. I hate that.
Right. I mean, this is a disaster. And unfortunately, what we have is a bunch of libertarians who used to be like, who would have been like really hardcore about this stuff. You remember like Dave Smith calling Trump for his public execution for committing a genocide in Yemen. He's not going to call it a genocide in Gaza anymore. Like, he's toeing the line. He's going to be a little cute. He's going to be like, you know, that's not my favorite.
Oh, I'm looking at LP and it's now, and they're totally on Massey's side.
Yeah, I think the LPNH in particular, yes, but
totally on Massey's side.
I was referring specifically to Heiss and to I saw Heiss's tweet earlier today, and
meant as far as selling out for Trump. I don't know specifically the Massey situation.
Right.
Know?
So let me.
Okay. You mean sell for Trump? Okay. Yes. They definitely sell for Trump. That's true. But I would be surprised if I saw them turn on Massey. I mean, that doesn't seem like LPNH at all.
But I mean, look at them today with the student, right? Getting their free speech rights violated.
Well, I want to hold on to that for a second, and we'll get to it in a second. I just want to get things in the right order. Just to wrap up on the Massey situation, Larry, I think one of the things that Trump said, we need this continuing resolution in order to keep the government functioning, because we don't have the votes today. But since this resolution carries you through to September, you're not picking up any senators to hit 60 in September.
Hey, hold on. I got to go back. I'm looking at Heiss right now. He's on Massey's side, too.
Well, he must have just changed.
9 hours ago. He's on Massey's side, too.
Yeah, okay.
He's going to team up with Rand. The reason why I'm shocked is I don't know any libertarians, and maybe there are some, who are against Massey. They may love Trump compared to Harris. I see that all the time. But when you're gonna put Trump against any other libertarian, I know a lot of people who go Trump. I'm with you, Hody, 100%. But when you put Trump against Massey, there's very few libertarians.
I think who would go Trump. Let me also kind of rephrase it a little bit. On the issue of voting against the CR, they sided with Trump. Okay, they may still love Massey. I'm not debating that. But on the issue of the CR, they sided with Trump. But anyway, my point this is, what would waiting till September do for Trump? He still wouldn't have his 60 senators in September.
They're going to spend all the money anyway.
Of course.
Look, the reality of they're going to spend all the money. The reality of it is Trump is not some amazing cutter. That's not a thing that he is. He never was. He isn't an amazing cutter.
Yeah.
The thing that he has done well is he's made anti-establishment mainstream in many places where it was not in the past.
Right.
That's the thing he's done well.
Yes.
Now, that and does that help libertarians? Last year, no. Can we hope that it helps them in the future? I hope so. And my hope is the people like the Tulsi Gabbards, the people like the RFK Juniors, if they can make any change at all, and I don't know if they can. Tulsi, they're holding her off already. I don't know if she can. I don't know.
Right.
And I don't care if I even agree with the change, to be forward with you. If they can make any change at all and it becomes positive in any way or the reverse, doesn't end the world, right? If, to Hody's point, the kids don't all starve, right? If there actually is a change and the kids don't starve, that actually makes it easier for us to move forward. And I say that because if you saw when I was last year, I literally was part of getting people like Cornel West to come to our conventions. Because anyone who makes impact, even though I disagree with most of Cornel West's policies, I don't care. If he can move people away from the establishment, if he can get people to thinking third party and change, I'm in.
Yeah, well, you're interested in that third party shakeup. So
correct.
Your motivations are slightly different, but I can appreciate.
I cannot see America changing without a third party. Let me give you an example of what I think is actually working. RFK Jr. Initially, when he was running independent, I really wanted him to keep running and break the 5%. I really wanted to break it. I really hoped he could have the best chance to do so. I was hoping he could break the 5%. Then he went and jumped on Trump train. All right, that went away. But I was hoping that was going to happen because I knew that libertarians couldn't do it. I knew the Greens couldn't do it. I was hoping somebody could break the 5% and make third parties real, right? That was going to help all of us in the future if I can get him to do it. He didn't do it. All right, what are you going to do? But he did bring MAHA to Trump. Prior to Trump, Republicans weren't talking about health or food or any of that stuff. Now they are. It's on Fox News now. You go on Fox News, you're talking about MAHA and health and blah, blah, blah. Now, you may not care. You may think that's dumb. You may not like it. My point is it actually changed the narrative. That's my point.
It's a shakeup.
Yes.
So I'll go with you because people know my disdain for RFK on this show. I won't go into it again. But I will say one thing. He is shaking things up. So 100%. To that extent, I agree with you. All right. Before we go on to the next section, let me bring on our final guest for the evening, a very distinguished gentleman, very spiffy looking down there.
Guy.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. How about us?
That's too bad. I'm probably going to say some things that piss you off. I don't know who that guy in the T-shirt is. He says he just talked to me. I think I filtered him out. On my phone sometimes it says likely to be spam. I don't know. Maybe that was – I don't know what's going on with that thing.
Well, everyone, say hello to 2024 Libertarian Party Vice Presidential nominee, Mr. Mike Termott, also co-host of the very popular Liberty Lens show, also seen somewhere else here on grumblingsmedia.com. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. The truth of the matter is it was a great joy to join Larry's program. I think it was just yesterday. It feels like 100 years ago. So much has happened. So thanks for letting me join you guys tonight. This is your 49th episode?
49th plus one. And what's interesting here is I think we now have officially the two guests who have appeared the most times on Free For All. So you guys get to join us in a
By that you mean you and Hody?
No. I mean the other two, but we're coming up there. And listen, I made sure. Like, I texted both these guys, and I said, before I invite both of you on, do y'all have beef with each other? Because when you invite two
of the
Italians
on the show.
Yes, we
do, and you invited us anyway.
We got a cop. We got an ex-Marine. Ex-cop, ex-Marine. I don't know who to put my money on.
No such thing as an ex-Marine.
That's true.
I've worked for Big John. I've worked for Mike. I've worked for Larry. I feel like I'm going to get fired at some point because all my bosses are in the same room and want to talk to me alone. Now, this is bad.
That is literally my unit right there. I'm Marine Corps right behind.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. All right.
Let's Don't worry. I'm not going to show you my unit. Let's move on.
Ooh. Lots of thanks for that one, Mike. Okay, let's move on to this.
Get us all canceled, Mike. Mike walks in and get us all canceled. Look at that.
All right, let's continue the fun. ICE raids and illegal immigration. ICE raids are much the rage among the Trump administration right
they
now.
Are?
And no. let me throw out some numbers at y'all. You tell me what you think of them. Total arrests, 19,925. And as a concession to age, I will do this. Total arrests, 19,925. Total deported, around 10,000. Total detained. As of the end of February, 43,000. Felons among the arrested, those who have been adjudicated to be felons, 4,200. So roughly, it's less than 10% of the total arrests.
Higher than I thought.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be lower, but it's 4,200.
Now, wait a minute, you threw me off there. You said 4,000 of them were felons.
Adjudicated felons, right, 4,200, roughly.
4,200 out of 19,000 total arrests.
Total arrests, 10,000 deported, and 43,000 detained.
43,000 detained?
Yes, through the end of February.
How many of them were deported?
That number is mixed in with the arrests. So the total number of deported was 10,000, roughly.
And what happened to the other 30,000?
That's a good question. They're still in process.
Yeah,
they're still detained. Yeah, okay. Those numbers were not available.
And these are numbers since what? January?
Through the end of February.
Starting when?
January 20th.
Okay.
So it's 3 weeks according to this data. 3-4 weeks worth of data. Now, what's interesting is also among that they have 15 documented cases of U.S. citizens being swept up and detained.
No.
And later let go. Yes, 15 documented cases.
One of them? Was Larry one of them?
But the total number is actually unknown. So the point in this is...
Government doesn't make these mistakes. You're lying.
Let's start with Mike. Mike, give me your thoughts on what ICE is doing, what Immigration Czar Homan is doing. What's going on? Do we see the people supporting this? Is it being messaged correctly? Is it being messaged propagandized?
Holy cow, there's a lot of layers there.
Tell me, Mike.
Well, look, your audience already knows where we start out on this, and that is that we're very, very pro-immigration and we're very, very pro-immigrant. I believe that this nation needs actually greater numbers of immigrants. I think that it's okay for there to be some vetting as people come across the border. I think the American public expects that. And by the way, that isn't an American tradition. And so in that sense, once you make that decision, that concession, that realization, I would call it, that you're going to have some vetting as people come across the border, you necessarily need to get control of the border. And I think that that's a mistake that Democrats made, is that they don't, you know, that's just a 2 and 2 is 4 kind of thing. You know, you're either going to have an open border or you're going to have a controlled border. And they went for A, and everybody else in the United States wanted B, including half the Democratic Party. So we had to get control of the border, and that necessarily implies, particularly if you've had administrations in the past that believed in controlling the border, and you've had legislators who believed in controlling the border, that necessarily implies that you're going to have people here illegally. That's just, you know, that's semantics. You know, that's just right. The English language. If you're going to decide that some people aren't allowed here, you're going to have a lot of people who are here that aren't allowed. Now, I think that that's where the analysis needs to begin, because in my view, the United States government bears a tremendous amount of responsibility for there being so many people in the United States illegally. What I mean by that is, John, you and I have talked about this before. If we were in Mexico, especially if we were in Nicaragua, for example, you're trying to raise a family and your prospects are, you know, economically speaking, approximately what they are for the rest of those societies.
Pretty dim.
You're running that border. Yeah. You're running the Mexican border, then you're running the American, you know, you're running that border in Arizona, probably, where it's wide open,
right,
at the edge of the wall. You're doing that all day long, 9 times out of 10. And so am I. And for the government to act like we're not going to control the border, but we're still going to make it illegal, is, you know, it's approximately as dopey as saying, yeah, we don't have any way of stopping the American public from taking drugs, but if you do it, we're going to call you a felon, right? I mean, it's just stupid all the way around. So if you're going to forfeit on the idea of controlling the border, and then you wind up with 30 million people in the United States who you didn't plan on, I'm sorry, but that's on you, right? That's just water flowing downhill. That's just going to happen. You know, that's human nature. That's just people being smart. And by the way, those are the kind of people you would want to have in America. And those are the people who have made America great again and again and again and again, is people who are willing to take huge risks to build a better life for themselves and for their families here in the United States, whether that's economically motivated or motivated to be able to worship the way that they want to, which are, you know, the two big ones besides getting away from creepy foreign dictators.
Right.
And so, you know, if that's fact number one that I believe, or principle number one, you got to hang your hat on. The other one is, I think that most Americans feel like if you're here working on citizenship, even if you're here legal, whether you're here legally or illegally, it is in some sense a privilege to be an American. We're damned lucky. I think we ought to recognize that. If you're here on a temporary status, whether that's legal or not, and you commit a violent felony, I'm sorry, it's going to be really hard to muster a great deal of sympathy when someone decides it's time for you to go.
Right. Well, I think that's a good distinction. So, like, out of the numbers I gave, let's take them at face value. The 4,200 that have been adjudicated felons, no problem. Deport them. I don't think anyone's objecting to that.
Some are, but you and I agree.
Yeah. But, Larry, if we're talking about ICE, isn't part of the concern that they're trampling on people's rights? We've got, even though there's not, like, rivers of these people, there are people who are American citizens, permanent residents, being swept up in this. And also, I don't understand the concept. As libertarians, we walk around saying, no government grants us our rights. We have our rights by virtue of being humans, unless, of course, you're not within these imaginary lines that say you're an American.
Two parts. The reason why we have what we have is exactly what Mike said, right? We decided that, oh, some people are illegal and some people aren't. Okay, we made a decision. We decided we have to have a closed border. Okay, we made a decision. Then we didn't close the border. So that was going to happen. And my answer, I go back to my first thing I talked about. What was the answer for the establishment the last 4 years? Their answer was, Trump is really bad. That was their answer. And that's not good enough. You need to have an answer. Now, the second part that Mike says is also correct. You now have people who are now illegal. You made them illegal. Correct. That's true. Then why do you have to throw them out? That's not required. You could find a way of making them legal. That's a secondary option, right? You've decided they're illegal. Okay, get it? So you could make them legal somehow. I actually don't mind the theory of rounding people up if other things are also in place, meaning you've created a place like, and I talk about it all the time, an Ellis Island, a place where people can go and get legal, right? So I can go and get legal. Will I get arrested? No. Will I get deported? No. You can go there and get legal, right? You can do that. And if you can go there and get legal, and then people say, no, I don't want to go there and get legal because I've got a bad past because I'm a bad person and I actually work for bad people. Okay, then that those people, to your point, Big John, you can go get. But we didn't do the first part. We didn't make it so there's a way to get them to be legal. That's the problem I have. If we do that now, it's fine then, but we don't do that. We're just going to say, hey, we let you in. We knew you were screwed. This is basically entrapment. And now we're going to beat you up. And here's the worst part. Now we're going after people, and it's harder. Because here's the best part. If we had given them a way of becoming legal, then they're no longer intimidated by bad Pablo, right? Then good Pablo is their friend. So now the cops go to good Pablo and say, hey, good Pablo, where's bad Pablo? Oh, I hate that guy. He's right there. And then they go get bad Pablo. But right now, if they go to good Pablo runs away because he's going to get deported. He doesn't help them at all. In fact, now when bad Pablo says, hey, good Pablo, if you don't do as I say, I'm going to take care of you. Good Pablo can't call the cops. So now good Pablo just became another bad Pablo. All those things begin to happen. So that's what we should have done.
Yeah, and let me throw this other one. As I've mentioned a couple of times already, Larry and I, native New Yorkers, born and bred, probably when the time is right, New York dead, as they say.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. One of our fellow New Yorkers, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, decided that she was going to help illegal immigrants learn about their rights. She held webinars. She informed them whether or not they needed to answer a knock on the door, you know, hide and this and that, which raised the ire of immigration czar Mr. Homan, who suggested that she be arrested and charged with obstruction
of
justice.
Wait a minute. Homan wants to arrest people? When did that happen? That's a total way.
Someone's knocking on my door. I'll be right back.
I'll tell you one thing. Mike and I talked about this. That guy looks like the big old Irish cop that walked the beat in my neighborhood in the Bronx. And that was one guy you never crossed. You know, the guy who walks and he's totally
y'all look the same.
Skillful with the baton, twirling it,
yes.
And, you know, like one of those old guys. So, Larry, before I go around the panel, what do we think of that little kerfuffle? AOC, was she doing something A, legal, B, protected, C, something she should be doing for her constituents?
The problem with AOC, and she's my congressperson, is that I will always give her credit where credit is due. And AOC has a very good work ethic, and she busted her rump to get that seat. Since she knocked on my door. I'm not even joking. Right. She busted her rump to get that seat. After that, she has completely sold out. And it's embarrassing how badly she has sold out. She does not support her constituents anymore. She's just trying to like stay in power long enough to where she's senior enough to be somebody in the Democratic Party. Hmm. I think she's trying to become a senator or something or whatever she wants, run for governor or something, whatever's her next step in life.
Right.
That's or maybe get a committee membership so you can bring in the big dollars, right? Whatever, and you know, be really corrupt.
Only terrific people run for governor in New York. I don't know about that one.
That's true. But I think she's doing something like that. And the reason is, so that's why I don't believe what she's doing. She actually cares. She's doing it to gain attention. And that's why I can't stand it. Now, is she doing anything wrong? No, tell people about their rights. I don't care. That's fine. But she's not doing it because she cares about their rights. I wish she actually did. She doesn't. She's like, what can I do now? She was last year, she was doing makeup TikTok videos. I'm not joking.
I believe you.
She was doing makeup TikTok videos. She has utterly sold out. I wish she actually cared about that. The problem is she has the skill set and the charisma to do it. She should be going with Bernie Sanders right now, every place he's going. Bernie Sanders is right now out there. I mean, he's way too late. His time has gone and passed. He's done for. But he's actually saying, I've got something. I got to do something. Well, why isn't she there saying, let's go do something? She's not. She's doing TikTok videos and this stuff to be, like, popular. But you know what she won't do? Go against Democratic establishment. which is what Bernie will do now. I mean, he's sold out also, but at least now he's like, well, I'm 86. They can't mess with me anymore. Now I'll be tough guy. Whatever. Way too late, Bernie. She should be going against the Democratic establishment right now. And her example, if she looked at it, is Thomas Massie. She literally is unbeatable in my city, in my district, if she would actually be what the people here wanted to be, which is a rebel against the establishment. That's why she won her seat in the first place against Crowley, who was literally the establishment. Crowley didn't even live in New York. He lived in Virginia. I'm not even joking.
But I think part of the problem there was that they threatened to gerrymander her out of her district if she kept up the nonsense. I'm meaning the Democratic establishment.
She should have ran for senator.
Okay, fair enough. You should hire you as a political strategist. Absolutely.
100%.
All of that is true, perhaps including and maybe even especially that last statement. AOC does tend to be a dingling, which I think is her Achilles heel, is that no matter what topic comes up, she just doesn't seem to be positioned as the sharpest knife in the drawer. One of the things Republicans are upset about is that they believe that she's not merely counseling people about what their rights are, but suggesting that people do things that are against the law. One might argue round or square whether that's true, and we should probably be also talking about whether the law needs to be changed. But to Larry's point, there are things that she could be doing. She is, after all, a legislator, right? And so some of these laws do need to be changed. And I'm sorry for her constituents that the last 4 years have been a missed opportunity for her to do exactly what Larry's talking about. She could have been on the rampage for a deal with Republicans, come hell or high water. She could have been on the rampage to do right by these people who come to the United States because they're not stupid. They do what any of us would do. And I thought that Larry's earlier monologue about, you know, you can find a path to citizenship for these people. Absolutely. It is the way that this always should have been treated. Republicans were able to get a little bit of political traction in certain years, some years more than others, by calling that amnesty and characterizing it as some element of unfairness, which, you know, we get, right? If you went through the system and you waited all those years and paid the attorneys and got the paperwork and someone Yep. else didn't, it does feel unfair. But this can't merely be about fairness. If you're just going to talk about fairness, then we got to talk about the fact that these people who came in illegally took huge personal risks with their safety, not just with their $15,000 attorney fees. So I'm not sure that, you know, this is a group of people who you can characterize as having found, you know, a loophole in a scam. They are doing things that a lot of people on this planet wouldn't have the guts to do. And on some level, even if, you know, you're upset about immigrants being here, none of the four of us are, but there are plenty of people around the United States who are, you have to admire them nonetheless. And so I think, John, where your conversation is going to have to eventually go is that you're going to have to treat different groups of people differently. Not everybody wants to hear that. If you've committed a crime, you're going to have to decide what level crime warrants being thrown out of the United States, right? If you haven't committed a crime, does it matter what period of time that you've been here in the United States? Does it matter under what jurisdiction, what rules, which administration? How did you get here? Do these things matter? These are not easy questions to answer. As libertarians, we would like to say, you know, if you're here and you haven't committed a violent felony, we believe that you should be allowed to stay. That's sort of where we are as a matter of principle. But developing the legislative foundation to execute on that is fraught with political danger and is not easy to do. And that's one of the reasons why, as much as I can be dismissive of AOC and pat her on the head and say, well, you know, the poor dear only has an IQ in the 80s. How mad can you be? I still am disappointed because the past 4 years have been a missed opportunity.
I agree.
Well, I got to go one step further with this, though, and that is there's a second piece to this, and that is we as a nation have not taken care of our own people very well. If you look at our own people, they are unhappy. They're unhappy in every way. They don't feel like they have the right job. They don't feel they have the right girlfriend or boyfriend. They don't feel like they have the right purpose in life. They don't feel like they have the right housing. They don't have the right – right. We have done something very silly. We have made in our world, in our country, luxuries cheap and necessities expensive, right? We've done that in our world, and people don't have necessities, but they got cool shoes. Like, that's what we've done in our world, and they're unhappy. So now here come people who need help, and we're saying to ourselves, and I mean this as a country, not every individual, but as a country, we're going, I don't want to help these people. I want to help my cousin. I want to pay my rent. I don't want to give them a dollar. I don't want to give money to Israel. I don't want to give money to Ukraine. I don't want to give money to the EU. I don't want to do any of this stuff because I want to help myself. It is a way that we did not feel in the 1950s, 60s, and even 70s. We didn't feel that way. That began to happen in the 80s and 90s. Now, America First doesn't no longer sound selfish, and it used to. Now America First sounds like, yeah, about time. That's what it sounds like to so many Americans. So I've got to add that piece that unless we change that view and Americans get more hope themselves so that we believe we can get that American dream, we don't want to give it to somebody else. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's true.
Well, you can see that psychology playing out. Hody, very quickly, I want to give you a shot at this one, Hodester. Today it was announced, President Trump, rather, wants to enact the 1798 Alien Enemies Act.
Oh, we aren't playing. We're serious now.
Which is the passage of that act will help in deportation efforts because it allows President Trump to declare that people in this country from either a hostile nation or a warring nation, he can bypass all legal restrictions or anything like that and just toss them out. In history, this is sort of what was used during World War II through FDR's, EO 9066, to intern Japanese Americans without warrant or trial.
What could go wrong?
So Larry and Hody, I could get adjoining bumps. That's what could go wrong.
Hody, talk to me about
this. Hody, answer it quick because I got to jump in.
All right. You know, this has been litigated before, obviously, when it's that old. We have had a lot to talk about with this, and there's a lot of jurisdictions and a lot of jurisprudence about this law. It has remained somehow still in the books despite the majority of the Alien Sedition Acts getting thrown out. If you are a male and you are over the age of 14 years old, that there is a way that the federal executive branch of the government can have you thrown out if you have shown a committed alliance to a nation that America is actively in a declared war with. So that is what that is. So if we have declared war and the nation is officially a hostile nation and you are over the age of 14 and you are a male, we may be able to kick you out. It is one of those antiquated laws.
If you're from that nation.
Right. If you are from that nation and you have shown an allegiance, and you also have to show an allegiance to that nation. So that you have joined in the hostilities. Or
does anyone know the last time we declared war?
World War II.
1942. We declared war on Germany's allies, Bulgaria, Romania, and Hungary. By the way, interesting enough, we never declared war on Finland, even though Finland was also a German ally. We only declared war on those three.
Right, and what's interesting is the sort of subclause of what Hody mentioned is that openly hostile nations fall in that category. So it's not declaration of war. But, Mike, I'm going to let you talk, but also...
So hold on. So that means we can throw out the Hungarians. We declared war on them like 80 years ago. We can stop throwing them out.
As long as we're not throwing out the Dutch, I'm okay with the whole thing. Larry, that was a really important point, but you're going to have to go easy on the youngsters. Only you and I remember 1942.
Stop it.
Look, it is true that legally there is an excuse on the books to throw people out who have an allegiance with the foreign power, right? That's not, I don't believe that that is what is going to be most relevant going forward, because I think the courts are going to draw a line in the sand against too much silliness, and I think are already demonstrating a willingness to do so. The law under which this young man, Khalil, right, Mahmoud Khalil, is being detained.
That's a separate law. It's not the same one, right?
That's exactly right. It's a separate law, and I believe that it is soon going to be a focal point.
Yeah, and just for the distinction, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mike, but I want to make the distinction. Under the 1798 Alien Enemies Act, you're not throwing out people for any commission of a crime. So you can't say...
No.
Right? First you say, we're at war or such... like. So in this case, the government would have to say, Mexico is a hostile nation to the U.S. Therefore, anyone of Mexican origin, regardless of status, so even legally naturalized Mexicans who have become American citizens, would fall under the auspices of this act, which means they could get thrown out even though they became naturalized citizens. And that's what was used to, in turn, Japanese Americans in World War II.
That is exactly right. But I believe that the focus of that law is sufficiently narrow that it is not going to become...
I think so, too. But what about
the focal point going forward?
What about, though, we talked about this, and maybe Larry and Hody can jump in, too. Do you feel that the PR, the Trump campaign PR, was way ahead of its time by constantly referring to illegal immigrants as an invading army, an occupying force? Like,
well,
he was using very military terms.
As long as you're appealing to people, you know, to try to get something as small as a vote. But language like that is not going to carry him through the courts. Look, the law that the administration is using now, today, as we speak, right, to detain Khalil in Louisiana, is a law, of course, as we all have learned over the past few days, that gives the Secretary of State fairly sweeping power. It cannot be lost on the Trump administration that this has been adjudicated once in court already. And it was struck down as unconstitutional, as I believe it should have been, for a couple of different reasons. One is it violated due process, and it violated the separation of powers. The court ruled that it unconstitutionally gave the executive branch too much authority, which was rightfully retained by the legislative branch, and they didn't give it away through law, and they can't just assign it to the Secretary of State to make up his or her own mind willy-nilly whenever they feel like it.
Now, Mike, I'm sorry, because I think – I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to give the context to the folks. You're talking about Mahmoud Khalil. He was picked up. He was a Columbia University protester, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian. I'm not sure how to categorize him exactly.
He's not openly pro-Hamas. He was not.
Right.
Now, he was part of some groups who were. That's
right.
True.
Okay.
He was linked to some groups in social media who were. He was not. He was.
Right.
And he
spoke. That's an important distinction. He has not been. And there's two different conversations here. One is the facts of the case, and one is the constitutionality of the case. But the facts are that the administration has not offered any evidence, has not claimed whatsoever that there's a relationship between this guy and Hamas, or between this guy and anybody in the Palestinian territory, or even that he has provided material support to Hamas or any other organization that the federal government of the United States has labeled terrorists.
And to that point, he hasn't been charged with any of that. So
correct.
What to reference what you were saying, Mike, this is some arcane little piece of code somewhere that says the Secretary of State can individually revoke anybody's immigration status because Khalil is a legal resident. He's a green card holder. He's not here illegally, and he's married to a natural born American citizen, and They have they have children, or is she pregnant right now? No, I'm not sure.
She's got 1 month left in the tank.
Right. Yeah. So for those that might be sort of jumbling up the story, he's not an illegal immigrant. That's not the case.
No. This is a green card holder who passes out Palestinian literature.
Right. So Mike.
And the Secretary of State has decided that he's got to go.
Right.
And there is a law under which he has such authority.
Very obscure.
Let me get
to
the punchline.
Punch away.
The punchline is that this was struck down once before as being unconstitutional. So you might say, well, then why are we having this discussion? Because that ruling was reversed for unrelated reasons. In other words, it has not been adjudicated as having been constitutional. It's just that the adjudication that said it was unconstitutional got reversed for other reasons.
On the technicality, in common parlance. Yeah.
And this is the punchline. The district court judge who struck down that law as being unconstitutional was Donald Trump's older sister.
I did not know that. So his older sister, who recently retired, right? Recently died. I apologize. From the bench. That's a form of retirement, I guess. I didn't realize, though, that there was that connection. Interesting. So
Marianne struck this down like 25 years ago.
Okay.
So Donald, let me say what I think here. I think, Mike, you have far too much belief in the courts. I do not. I have watched them do terrible shit 1,000 times. I do not have – no, I don't – me, I hope you're right. I hope next 2 months from now we come back on the show and I go, damn, Mike, you were right. I hope that happens, but I don't see it.
I'm not saying necessarily it's going to hold up. I'm just saying I believe that this piece of legislation is going to become an important focal point over the rest of this year.
I think they purposely picked this kid because this kid has no criminal record. I think they picked this kid because he is well-spoken. I think they picked this kid because he doesn't have any of that. Because once they trash him, there is no one they cannot trash. He was purposely picked. They didn't want – like there's an old story about, you know, Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks was the perfect person to pick for that. They picked her – Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson was the quintessential example.
Perfect person, yes. And they picked it because that was the only way they could make it work. These guys are the opposite.
Thank God he could hit a curveball.
Correct. They shifted and they picked the perfect person because once they smash him, there's no one they cannot. And their timing is perfect. As I said earlier, most Americans are going to just let this go because they see something happening and they just don't want to wreck it. They're going to shut up and say – most Americans are going to say nothing. The people who are going to protest are the usual suspects who now we ignore. All those people who showed up at the Trump Tower, we ignore them. We don't – those are the crazy lefties. We ignore those guys. They don't matter. We're going to ignore them. And when this guy is hammered, when he's in Gitmo or wherever the hell they send him, right, when that happens – it will open it up to trash anybody, anyway, anyhow. I do not feel good about this at all. I am very unhappy with this arrest. I think it was a terrible thing. I wish we had stopped it, and I'm not happy about it at all.
Agreed 1,000%.
I think, Larry, you have right to be disappointed and pessimistic. I think that he probably will be deported, and I think it'll be adjudicated. I make no pretension to being able to predict how that'll be adjudicated over the rest of the year. And I also believe that there will be legislation moved, but I don't think they're getting it through the Senate. So it's really going to come down to a battle. If I had to predict, the battle will be between the White House and the Supreme Court at some point.
And the White House wins that fight because the White House will simply ignore the judges and no one will do a thing. This will be the old – great. Say, do whatever you want. I'm not doing it.
It sounds like Biden and Obama all over again.
Yeah, it is. Let me just throw a quote. Hody, respond to this because you're of the four of us. You're by far the nicest person here. So I want to ask you what you make of this quote.
Hody, that's not setting the bar that high. Don't let your buttons get bursted there.
When Republican Senator Tuberville was asked about this specific case, his quote was as follows. Free speech is great, But hateful, hate free speech is not what we need in universities. And they don't need to be doing things that they're preaching from Hamas about anti-Semitism. And he called to send them, whoever them is, to jail.
You know who them is.
For disrupting education. Now, I draw your attention, you know, Hody, to is. Free speech is great, but hateful, comma, hate free speech. I didn't misspeak. He used those four words in succession. So, yep. Hody, what did Tuberville mean? And what? Give him the benefit of the doubt. You're a good Christian. Give him the benefit of the doubt. What was Tuberville trying to say?
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, right? Like, we got the, oh, hate speech isn't protected speech now that we're the ones in charge now.
Right, right.
Okay, I mean, if you throwing the curveball to give a maximum benefit of the doubt, which I really loathe you for making me do, I will go ahead and say he's being a populist. He understands that outside of, like, listen, the closed borders Marxists, the Bernie Sanders, and the Trumps of the world have basically won on this issue in the minds of the American people. The people who have read The Guarded Gate are aware of the lies that have been spread to make immigrants be unwelcome. ICE is committing blatant terrorism against them. Their rights are being violated left and right. We can try to keep up, but it is what it is. So the thing is they've won. And they know it's a winning issue, as Larry said, to at least have an answer, even if it's the wrong answer. Right. And the wrong answer before. Now, here's the thing. The left and the right have done the same thing on this since I've been alive. They've been deporting good people. And they've been locking good people up, making sure that they are trapped with ICE officials who are sexual assailants, who will take advantage of them. They've been losing track of their families. They've been giving them the runaround. They've been rocking them for money. But, oh, if you're Andrew Tate, come on down to Florida right now. We would love to have you and see you here, right?
No, they threw Andrew Tate out. That's not fair. They threw Andrew Tate to run away. They were mean to him. They were not nice to Andrew Tate. That's not
true. Did he not shake hands with Dana White?
Dana White is a wrestling dude.
Did he not get to hobnob with celebrities here in the United States while this guy on campus here has to go to a cell, right?
DeSantis told him he wasn't welcome. Johnson, Byron said he wasn't welcome. I got to be fair. The political class of Florida said you're not welcome here.
Florida specifically, yes. I will give DeSantis his flowers on this one. He was absolutely right. He said, I don't care who was it? Allegedly, William, my producer, probably knows. I think it was Grinnell that indirectly facilitated the Tates coming over. But it is an interesting juxtaposition, right?
Yes.
So the Tates are locked up. They've been deported.
No, they got thrown out. They had to go because they were going to come after them. Literally, they said they were going to come. Yes. They were going to come after them. That's why they went back to Hungary.
Yeah,
yes.
Florida was. Absolutely.
Romania. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So, look, I'm not a fan. I'm just being fair in this one. they actually did the right thing on this one. I want to always go, when you do the right
John,
thing.
John, congratulations. Back. You got Larry standing up for them and Hody standing up for Tony. I'm really impressed by your skill here.
I'm a maestro when it counts there, Mike. Okay.
No, if he's been deported, then that's whatever.
Yes,
he's in Romania. The same thing or whatever, right?
They threatened him and he went to Romania.
If I am wrong, prosecution. That's why.
Exactly. He wasn't technically deported, but they decided that if he did stay, they were going to make life hell for him. Meaning,
he's safer in the outback with kangaroos.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So he got the heads up and he got to go on his own terms versus my dishwasher who is now like in literally Guantanamo Bay right now.
right, exactly.
Like, so the point stands, we're being like beyond kind to somebody like this and then like getting them to introduce celebrities before we say like, hey, baby, could you maybe go away real quick? Right. You know, if that at all. And then we're like arresting totally good people. Anyway, you asked me to defend this guy's comment. He's just being a populist. And he is trying to say, I would rather side with the vice signalers than the non-signalers right now. Mm. Right. And so the non-signalers, listen, Biden, George W. Bush, Obama, we've all been doing this. They've all been treating legal immigrants bad, deporting really good people. I can't stand this system. It's been awful forever. But the thing is both parties have done it. For all the talk that Biden got about being open borders, he's sending trucks of Haitians like back over, flying them wherever they had to go, sending them back on their own ships when we needed their help. at the ports, you know? And then there are areas that the Republicans are like, oh, yeah, we're going to be super tough on this border here. There are areas we literally cannot build a wall. It is private property. It is federally protected property. And so we still have videos there of them coming across. The difference is the media wants one guy to be on open borders, wants another guy to be closed borders. Tuberville is looking at the two sides and seeing, hey, the Marxist won. I would rather be the closed borders side. That's the side that I'm going with. And so he's siding with, he's going to take, he'll say whatever it takes to be anti-immigrant, right?
Gotcha.
That this is his stance. He is passionate about it, obviously willing to take the Democratic talking points from 2 months ago. We shouldn't be at all surprised about that because this is what Bernie Sanders has been talking about the whole time. Close the borders, send the good people back, only let in the elites. Like, this is the side that the Republicans have decided to take, and it's a winning side right now. And so, unfortunately, yeah. I give it to Larry on this one. It is a winning side at the moment because yeah. I think we're yep. willing to take abuse against people so long as those people are immigrants. It's wrong, but that's where we're at.
As long as yep. it's not us. Okay,
right. Yep.
Very quickly, William, being a dutiful producer, Rick Grenell stated that he had nothing to do with him coming over, meeting the Tates, and he only had a few words in the hallway with the individual who was responsible for sort of clearing the deck, clearing
true.
The runway. So, as always, clarifying my statements. Okay, and the last subject of the night, gentlemen, we did mention judges. We did mention the role of the courts potentially in a lot of these things. A big talking point for the right, for the MAGA right, is, and Elon Musk posts about this several times a day now in the last couple of days, which is, when are we going to impeach these rogue judges? When are we going to get rid of these activist leftist judges? Just for the sake of history, in the history of the U.S., there have been 15 federal judges who have been impeached in the history of the U.S. Of those 15, only 8 were removed, and almost all of them, or essentially all of them, for bribery and perjury. None of them were removed for any rulings they may have made. So, I'll ask the panel, let's start with Larry. Larry, this move to impeach judges who are, quote, activists, quote, rogue judges. Talk to me about it. Is this a winning issue? And can the Republicans muster up the votes? I mean, Lauren Boebert in Congress already started drawing them up.
I'm going to be very controversial in this. I hate most of our judges. Most of them are garbage. Most of them don't care at all about the Constitution. The only way you get any decent judges is at very high level at state and very high level at federal. Every other judge, because they are beholden to the party system, do not care. They're beholden to the party system either get them elected, which is usually unopposed, so the parties decide who gets to become a judge, or they're selected, in which case the party decides who becomes a judge. So all they care about is what their party wants. I've watched it happen thousands of times. At least half of New York State judges are absolute pieces of garbage. They don't care at all. They will wreck you in family court. They will wreck you in court. They will devastate you. They will go against the Constitution. We had one judge in New York City who literally said, the Second Amendment does not exist in my courtroom. Her words, her punishment was nothing, because it was in Brooklyn and everyone hates guns in Brooklyn. So the Democrats hate guns. So she wants to make sure the Democrats are happy so she can say that, even though she takes literally, she can't put the Constitution. In my perfect world here, I do wish we could impeach judges who weren't constitutional, not those who make activist. You should be an activist judge, an activist for the Constitution. When the brain dead chimps in the assembly make terrible laws, when the brain dead chimps in Congress make terrible laws, you should be an activist and say, no, that's a terrible law. You should be an activist for the Constitution. They aren't. So do I want some to be impeached? So badly, yes, because I just want them to realize that they're not demigods and that they can be punished. But the problem we're going to have is the same problems we're having now. Because we haven't done that in the past, we got to let Trump do it, really? Is that the only way we could do it? Sadly, I think that's going to be the only way because no one in the past has done it. Could you imagine if once that judge said, the Second Amendment doesn't exist, someone will go, wait a minute. You just said the Bill of Rights doesn't exist in your courtroom. You're impeached. not because of your ruling, the guy's still whatever, but because you don't care about the Constitution. If that were to happen, I'm all in. But anyway, I went a bit off, but
that's
I have
okay.
an issue with judges.
So Mike,
I think Larry is perfectly on point. I shouldn't say it can't happen. It ain't going to happen that the administration, this one or probably any other administration,
yeah, you're right,
is going to do a good job of discerning which judges are constitutional, which ones aren't,
yep,
and make a movement to get rid of them. I think that the big risk, to Larry's point, the big risk is that if there's a successful movement now to impeach a bunch of judges, and by the way, I do believe that it's an overstatement to call a movement, you know, just a bunch of blabbering by Elon Musk.
Boebert is already drawing up articles of impeachment.
Oh boy, okay, then that's a movement, those two.
Just reporting it, Larry.
Hold that thought, okay? I'm not in yet that this is an actual movement. But if there were to be such a movement, I think the big risk is that it would be completely political from the standpoint, obviously, the Republican Party controls both houses of Congress. Some would say the Supreme Court. I'm not sure that's true. And the White House. And so they would have a lot of control over who gets not only impeached but thrown out. Yep. And my big fear is, the big risk is, that it would just come down to who voted with us and who didn't.
Well,
that's why I hate it. Like, I love the idea of it, but, like, why is it got to be Trump? Like, why well, that got to be?
But even if it were, my point is that even if you waited 4 years, I'm not optimistic you're going to get another administration who you would trust anymore.
Well, that's sort of the paradox of it. Larry stated it perfectly. Activist judges should overturn dumb laws made by a dumb monkey a congressman. The yes. problem is, the only way you would impeach them is that those same brain-dead monkey congressmen would have to vote and know the difference between what's constitutional and what's not in the first yep. place, which leads you back to the paradox that mathematicians love, but I hate. They wouldn't have made the dumb anti-constitutional laws to begin with. Hody, quick
this is a
wrap up.
Monkey legislative Mobius strip. I mean, this
yes,
is just a twist upon itself.
Yes. There you go.
There's no way off.
Hody, do you think we'll see an impeachment, at least, of any sitting judges in this session of Congress?
Possibly. I mean, the Trump administration is not going to surprise me with anything going forward with how far he will go to try and get his way. If nothing else, an impeachment trial, we've seen them before. We've all been alive. We've seen them, several of these impeachment processes. How often do they stay on topic? How often do they get on the topic of somebody's personal lives and try to tear them apart that way? Listen, you could have no chance at impeaching the guy, but it's your chance to grandstand. It's your chance
That's
to
true.
Destroy somebody. And if these people care about their reputations, they might bow down for it, right? Like, that's what Trump, I'm sure, is hoping here. Listen, impeaching judges is possible. We've done it 15 times in American history.
15 times.
15 yep. times. We kicked out 8 of them, and then 3 of them resigned before. Those who read Liberty's First Crisis, great book, all about the Alien Seditions Act, and you actually get a lot of the initial precedents for the laws that we have today, why we couldn't actually get rid of that law, and how the executive and legislative branches attempt to subvert the judicial branches to get what they want, to get people that they don't like to leave the country and to try and kick them out. It's not going to work, but it may get them to lay down. Like, we've all survived COVID here, right? We remember the judges were eventually right about that, about 5 years later than they should have been. But they were like, yeah, you don't have the right to shut down anybody's business. What's the problem? What's the restitution that they were forced to do? The damages that they did to us? What damages were the perpetrators forced to pay? Nothing. Nothing. And so what they know is that they can violate the laws now under these executive orders, right? Just saying, hey, I did my best to follow these executive orders. I was doing everything I thought I should do. That's carte blanche to do whatever you want. And even if a court says later, hey, that was unconstitutional, you just go, oh, okay, I won't do it anymore then.
Or in Cuomo, what you do is you grab somebody's butt and they forget about everything bad you did.
butt grabbing is a time-tested distractionary technique.
Works every time.
Go ahead.
To Hody's point, if the action that is being challenged in court is deporting people and they're already gone, and then the precedent gets reversed, what are you going to do? Go round them up and tell them they got to come back?
Yep. Right, right. The delay in itself could be the end game of some of these actions. Absolutely. All right, everyone. You've been watching the 50th anniversary episode of sorts of Free for All. Thank you all for joining us right here. And much, much thanks to my very special guest, the two guys who have appeared the most number of times on Free for All over these 50 episodes, Mr. Larry Sharp. Larry, please tell the folks, where can they hear you regularly for your radio show and your podcast?
Yes, I do a radio show out of WYSL Rochester, New York, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. And I also do my own show usually around 7 p.m., sometimes later, but usually around 7 p.m. Is my Sharp Way. So you can help it to The Sharp Way YouTube, The Sharp Way Twitter, The Sharp Way Facebook, The Sharp Way all the things. It doesn't matter where we go. Or just Google Larry Sharp. I'm lucky. My name is not very common. I am the most popular Larry Sharp in the country. So easy day.
Right, there you go. Thank you for that, Larry. And as always, you have a home here on Free for All. Thank you very much for supporting us over the past episodes. My co-host and partner and friend for Liberty Lens, Mr. Mike Termott, let the folks know where they can find your pearls of wisdom.
Well, John, first of all, I got to say I'm one of five Mike Termotts in the United States, and I do believe that I am no more popular than to be in third place.
Okay.
25 years ago, I was in the event business, which is to say doing $1 million a year with hotels, and found out the hard way that two other Mike Termotts were in the Marriott Rewards program and eating up my bonus points. A very sad day.
Oh, my goodness.
But I have recently, just a year before last, finally, after a decade of trying, established control over MikeTermott.com because the architect in Colorado gave it up. So you can go to MikeTermott.com. By the way, anyone who wants to talk about 2026 and 7 and 28, reach out to me personally. I would welcome a conversation.
There you go. And Hody, where can folks find you and what are you doing these days?
Sure. You can find me over on Grumblings Media on the Free for All over here with Big John. Highly recommended show. Most of the time we got good guests. This time we did our best. But you guys. No, I love you both. Mike, to your point, I've been a libertarian for life. No shame in third place, buddy. No shame. Hey, at least we're on the podium, right? I am part of the Red, White, and Rude Occasionally, and that is by our wonderful editor and organizer, William Del Pilar. Have trouble with the R's, but it is a beautiful name. And we talk like video games and culture and stuff like that over there. Primarily, I am on the culture side of things. I'm heavily invested in faith, in case you're like, why is this guy so pro-immigrant? Over 400 verses in the Bible about being pro-immigrant, everybody. So read your Bibles. I'm with the Love First Christians. We're a just a free Discord group. We're going through the Bible this year. Got some new joiners recently, as well as somebody who's been in like the bishopric for 20 plus years. It's a really great group of people, and we just kind of have all kinds of discussions. So if you're interested in the religious side of things at all, find me at Hody Johns on Facebook or at The Hode Man on Twitter or X, and you can find a link there to the Love First Christians, and I'd love to see you.
All right.
I have a quick story. Quick story.
Go ahead. Hit us, Larry.
I wasn't the most famous Larry Sharp. The most famous Larry Sharp was the wrestler, Pretty Boy Larry Sharp from the 70s.
Founder of the Monster Factory in New Jersey.
That's correct. The Monster Family. That's correct. The Monster Factory. Correct. Yes. Now, he was – I used to watch him because he had my name. I loved watching him. He was my Pretty Boy. His actual name was Larry Wheel. For some reason, he changed it into Larry Sharp with an E, too. I don't know why he did it, but he did. So I actually had his name. I loved it. I said, watch him in wrestling but he passed away in 2018, just when I ran for governor. So literally he was number one and then I swapped. He went down and I ascended. So that was the reason why. So sad reason, rest in power, Pretty Boy Larry Sharp.
And for those out there, just to show that I am a true wrestling aficionado, Larry, can you name me the most famous student to come out of Pretty Boy Larry Sharp's Monster Factory?
I don't know. No, I don't know.
The prettiest
Beast from the East, Bam Bam Bigelow, was his
Is that right?
student, and he's the one who trained him up and got him ready for Vince McMahon. And on that note, everybody, wrestling, libertarianism, and your rights. You get it all right here on Free for All. Until next Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, please join us again. Thanks to everybody who joined us in the chat. Catch you next week, everybody.